All right, good morning, everyone. Let's begin. So we find ourselves this week on Kapitel Chof Ches. I think this will probably be the last Kapitel we're going to end up doing this session, as I believe next week is the last class before Pesach. So Meretz Hashem will spend this week and next week on Kapitel Chof Ches. So Kapitel Chof Ches is short but profound. Let's take a look at number one, the David. To David or of David, Elecha Hashem Ekra, to you HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I call out, Tzuri, you are my rock. Al techerash mimeni, do not be deaf to me. Al techeshem mimeni, do not be silent to me. V'nim shalti im yardei bar, because if you will be, I will be likened to those who descend into the pit. Shema kol tachanunai, hear my supplications, b'shavi Elecha, when I reach out to you, b'nasi adi al devir kodshecha, when I lift my hands towards your holy sanctuary. Al tim shecheni im rishoim. Do not cause me to be drawn with the wicked. Ve'im pale oven with those who engage, with those who work iniquity. Dovrei shalom im re'em v'ra'a bilvavam. Who speak peace with their friends, but evil is in their heart. Pasuk dalid. Tein lohem kifa'alam ukira ma'al lehem kima'asi yideim ten lohem hashev gemulam lohem. Give them according to their deeds and according to their evil of their endeavors, according to the work of their hands. Give to them, return their recompense to them. Pasuk, hey. Ki lo yavinu el p'ulas Hashem ve'el ma'asei adov yarsem v'lo yivneim. For they do not understand the works of the Lord, nor the deeds of his hands. He shall break them down and not build them up. Baruch Hashem, ki shama kol tachnunai. Blessed is God, because he heard my supplications. Hashem uzi umagini. Hashem, God is my strength and my shield. Bo batach libi, v'ne'ezarti v'ayaloz libi u'mishiri ahodenu. My heart trusted in him and I was helped. My heart rejoiced and I will thank him with my song. Pasuk Ches, Hashem oz lamo uma'oz yeshuos mishichohu. The Lord is strength to them and he is the stronghold of the salvations of his anointed. And finally, Hoshia asamecha uvarich esnachalasecha Urim venaseim ad haolam. Save your people and bless your inheritance and tend them and elevate them forever. So what I'd like to try to work on this morning is just a general thematic overview of the Kapitel. Of course, what jumps out at us at first glance is Le David. Remember again, this is now the fourth Kapitel we've seen with LeDavid. And if you take a look at number two, Rav Hirsch, in his commentary on Tehillim writes the following. This chapter is the final psalm in the series beginning with Psalm 24 that bears the superscription of LeDavid. Remember again, Rav Hirsch explained to us what does, remember, we've seen already, there's Mizmor LeDavid, there's LeDavid Mizmor, there's Lamnatseach. And again, if there's one thing we've seen, you know, it's interesting. Throughout Tanakh, there are some works that you can be medayik. There are some works in which you could seek deeper meaning for word choices, and there are some you cannot. So for example, Chumash, we know that when you learn Chumash, you have to pay attention to every single word. What about Navi? Not really, because Navi is much more of a story. Navi is meant to be, there are moral ethical lessons, but the word choices are not, you don't necessarily have to ask yourself why the Navi used this word and not that word. And again, in much of Nach, Neviim and Kesuvim, that is the case. Tehillim, that is not the case. Now, why is that not the case in Tehillim? Because Tehillim is poetry. Poetry is all about words. And it's all about specific word choices. David HaMelech chooses every single word carefully. So the fact that David chooses to begin certain kapitel like Mizmor LeDavid versus others LeDavid Mizmor versus others just Lam Natseach or others LeDavid is by design. So Rav Hirsch explains, and again, we've seen this already, now this is our fourth kapitel in a row dealing with this. So he says, which expresses some of the simple thoughts and emotions which David experienced during his eventful life. So remember again, we've already discussed this idea that, for example, LeDavid Mizmor means that David HaMelech is speaking in a state of what we'll call prophetic ecstasy. Mizmor LeDavid means David HaMelech had to inspire himself in order to reach a level of prophecy. And LeDavid just simply means a free flow of Davidic consciousness. There's no prophecy. There's no word of God that is being stated over here. David HaMelech is allowing us access into the most private, innermost chambers of his heart and soul. David HaMelech is bearing his soul to us in his soul. That's why you'll notice, by the way, that the kapitlach that begin LeDavid are some of the most emotional kapitlach. Because David HaMelech is just trying to tell you, let me show you what's happening in my heart. Let me show you what's happening in my soul. It's the same way that when a person expresses their feelings, sometimes their thoughts are not necessarily coherent. Sometimes the thoughts are not necessarily intellectual. Sometimes they're not very refined or very polished because it's just a free flow of emotion. There are many kapitlach that are much more stylistically appealing. There are many kapitlach that are much more sophisticated. But the Ledavid kapitlach are often the most emotional, and the truth is, the most raw. The most raw. It's just David HaMelech letting it all out. So Rav Hirsch explains. He says, Psalm 28 is a recapitulation of the motives expressed separately in Psalms 26 and 27. This psalm is a short song in praise of the strength and power that can be derived from the awareness of an intimate relationship with the Lord and His law. A boon which proves its efficacy so gloriously and blissfully, even in the midst of trouble and direst peril. This feeling must naturally grow more intense within David's heart in view of his people, among his people, in view of his position among his people. So according to Rav Hirsch, what's the theme of this capital? David HaMelech, again, what's the theme? What is David expressing here? What's David's state in this capital? Good, but what's his state? What's the state of affairs? He's in trouble. Which again, the truth is, remember, whenever I ask that question in Tehillim, it's always a safe guess. Right? David's in trouble because David HaMelech's life is mostly turbulent. David HaMelech's life is mostly difficulty. So in this kapitel, David is in trouble. And says Rav Hirsch, so what David is expressing to us is who does David reach out to when he is in trouble? It's interesting. He doesn't reach out to his friends, and we'll see why, because he doesn't have many of them. He doesn't reach out to his family because the truth is he can't really depend on them. He doesn't reach out to his spouse, and that's because, remember, David HaMelech's marriage is shrouded in a whole other dynamic. The dynamic with Bathsheba is a very multifaceted, complicated one. So who does he go ahead and reach out to at times of distress? One entity and one entity only, and that's the Ribono Shel Olam. So according to Rav Hirsch, the Ledavid theme over here is, David HaMelech is saying, my life is filled with controversy and difficulty. My life is filled with pain. My life is filled with letdown. And we'll discuss this more specifically. And just know, whenever I feel like I am in a rut, whenever I feel like I'm in a difficult place in life, I go to one address, and that is the Ribono Shel Olam. And that's what Rav Hirsch is saying. This psalm is a short song in praise of the strength and power that can be derived from an awareness of an intimate relationship with the Lord and His law. So David says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when I am in trouble, when life is difficult for me, I reach out to you. Because my relationship with you provides me with some level of stability in an otherwise turbulent world. That's why, interestingly enough, how does David refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the opening pasuk of this kapitel? LeDavid Elecha Hashem Ekra. What does he call God? Tsuri, my rock. God is referred to a rock already in the Torah. Why is God referred to a rock? Because a rock is stable. A rock doesn't move. A rock is going to remain in place even when everything else shifts around. The rock represents stability. So according to Rav Hirsch, LeDavid, I feel so alone. I feel like I'm stuck in such a whirlwind in the difficulties and the vicissitudes of existence. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when I feel like that, the David, I reach out to you. You are my stability. You are my rock. In fact, if you look at number 3, there's a beautiful Gemara Maseches Megillah. The Gemara says, Ve'ein Sur, quoting from the Pasuk, Ve'ein Sur Ke'elokeinu, there is no rock like our God. So the Gemara darshins, Ein Tsayar Ke'elokeinu. What does it mean, Ein Sur? Tsur could be vocalized in a different way. Tsayar. A tsayar is what? Is an artist. There is no artist like the Ribono Shel Olam. How so? Adam tsar tsura al gabi akosel. A person could draw an image on the wall. Ve'eino yochol lahatil ba ruach u'neshama kravayim me'me'ayim. So if I draw an image, you know, even if I draw a three-dimensional image, the truth is I can't infuse life. Literally translated means I can't infuse life, I can't infuse a soul, and I can't infuse internal organs. I can't put anything into that drawing. But God forms an image within an image. What is this representing? This is representing a woman who's bearing a child. So a woman who's bearing a child is an image within an image, right? The woman herself, the mother, is an image. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to create another, there's a fetal image within the mother as well, a baby within the mother. And what happens? Umatil ba ruach u'neshama kravayim me'me'ayim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to create the image of the mother, and then is able to create another image within the mother. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to infuse in that inner image, in that in utero image, the ruach, the spirit, the neshama, the soul, and ultimately, again, all of the internal organs. So the reason I'm mentioning this is because David HaMelech is saying, Kadosh Baruch Hu, you are my sustainer. Tzur is not just rock. Tzur is not just stability. Tzur represents a sustenance. Kadosh Baruch Hu, you sustain me. Now, why is this important? You know, it's interesting that if there's one thing we all strive for throughout life, it's what? Stability. That's true. Okay, maybe the second thing we strive for throughout life after stability is?
Love.
Love, true. Okay, maybe number three, right? We want to be, again, we don't even think about it consciously. We have a very strong desire to be self-sufficient. We have a very strong desire to stand on our own. Amazingly enough, one of the first, almost like, you know, it's interesting, children, if you notice, begin to walk on their own, meaning what the parent has to help them, but the notion the child pulls, the parent doesn't have to push the child to pull themselves up, right? The child begins that maturation process on their own. They begin to pull themselves up, they'll take a step. Of course, they need parental coaxing to then, but it's interesting that it's innate within us to be able to stand on our own two feet. That's why, again, when children, again, it's clear, it's Kadosh Baruch Hu embedded in us. What's the first way a child goes ahead and demonstrates autonomy?
No.
No. Right? And kids say no to all the craziest things. Why? Because they're not really saying no. What they're saying is, you know, mommy, daddy, ima, ama, whatever you are, you know, don't tell me what to do. They're not even conscious. I am an autonomous being. The amazing part is we actually never grow out of that, right? We continue to do that throughout life. That's why, again, we often do many crazy things just in order to show that we are in control. We are in control. You see this, it's Maisim Mechol Yom. When people have difficult circumstances in life, person's battling illness, so you'll see it. What happens? A person is nebuch struggling with a particular life issue, and what'll happen? They're going to clean their house 5 times a day. Why? Because people have to demonstrate control. If I can't control X, I'm at least going to control Y. Sometimes it's a good thing. Sometimes it leads people to do many unhealthy things. But the point that David HaMelech is saying is like this. So we often assume that a dependence on the Ribono Shel Olam is a form of weakness. I have to depend on God because I am human, because I'm frail, because I'm not self-sufficient, and that is a human limitation. That is that it's a pagam, it's something deficient in me. Because again, I should be able to be self-sufficient. I should be able to stand on my own 2 feet. What David HaMelech is saying is that no, it's not a form of weakness. It's a gift. It's a gift to be dependent on the Ribono Shel Olam, to say HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you are my rak tzuri, to say HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you are my tzayar, you are my artist, you are the artist who created me, is not a form of human weakness, it's a form of human privilege. To be able to say that I have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's not just a relationship, it's not just that we know each other, but literally, you know, I think I mentioned this before, Rabbi Yitzchak Berditchev comments, and the pasuk in Tehillim, we say it every day in Shacharis, Kol haneshama tahalel ka, hallelujah. So literally, the Zohar writes, so literally, Kol neshama tahalel ka, every soul will bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be blessed. So the Zohar writes, Bechol neshima u neshima tahalel ka. With every breath, you have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. With every breath. So Rabbi Yitzchak Berditchev writes so beautifully, he says, what does it mean with every breath, I have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So the Rebbe says, every single time I exhale, my neshama yearns to get out of my body. My neshama doesn't want to be in this world, right? My neshama wants to go back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. My neshama comes from a beautiful and holy place and does not want to spend any more time here. And every single time I exhale, my neshama is yearning to get out. And what happens, says the Rebbe, every single time I exhale, the Ribono Shel Olam commands my neshama to stay put. So you can look at that two ways. You could say, oh, look how frail I am. I can't even exhale. Without the assistance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm so frail, I'm so weak, I'm so not self-sufficient. Or you can look at it a different way. What a privilege that God cares about me enough that He orders my neshama to stay in my body every single time I exhale. The Melech Machayim Lachim, the King of Kings, who has to run an entire universe, loves me enough. What does it matter to him? So I'll exhale, my neshama will go. So what? No, he cares enough to take the time out of his busy divine workday to go ahead and order my neshama to stay put. So it's not a form of weakness. It's an incredible privilege. And that's what David HaMelech is expressing in this kapitel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm alone in this world. And we'll discuss David HaMelech's aloneness in just a little bit. I'm alone. But here's what I know is I have you. And I admit the fact that I am dependent on you. And that dependency doesn't make me a weaker person. That dependency makes me a stronger person. Because to be dependent on the King of Kings means that there is a relationship. And there is incredible, beautiful, magnificent, holy strength within that relationship. So according to Rav Hirsch, according to the Gemara, that's what's happening over here. David giving us just the window into his soul. David feels vulnerable, but that vulnerability is addressed with a relationship and a dependency on God. And that dependency does not really bespeak a weakness. That dependency represents an incredible and beautiful strength. Second approach. Take a look at number four. Says the Radak, LeDavid Eilecha Hashem Ekra. So you'll notice most of the Mefarshim understand that this kapitel Chav Ches is connected to kapitel Chav Zayim, so which was Ledavar Hashem Ori V'Yishi. So says the Radak, Ledavar Hashem Elecha Ekra, Gam Zeh HaMizmor Me'inyan HaMizmor Shalafanov, Shekori El Hashem Sheyitin She'ilaso, Lahashkito Mi'iske HaOlam, Ulahaniach Lo Sheyeh Panoi, Lis'asik Betzarche HaNefesh Yavad Salkim. If you remember again, what was the major request in Kapitel Chav Zayin? Major request. Achos sha'alti me'eis Hashem otsav akesh. David HaMelech has one request, and what is it? Shifti beveis Hashem koyim echaya. I want to dwell in the house of the Lord. So what is the Radak? Remember again, the Radak in Kapitel Chav Zayin said, what was David HaMelech saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? God, I've spent my life fighting. I've spent my life waging war. I've spent my life literally doing the battles of God. I'm done. I want to hang up this sword. And I just simply want to dwell in the confines of your home. Whatever that home is, whether David HaMelech is asking to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, whether David HaMelech is saying, I just want to be close to you, I'll sit in the Beis Medrash, I'll sit in the shul, I'll sit in the tent that houses the Aron, whatever it is, David HaMelech is saying is, I want a respite from my life of war, of violence, of battle. I want to respite from dealing with people, and I just want to focus on you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why do I want this focus? I want lahashkito mi'iske olam. I don't want to have to deal with worldly matters anymore. I've spent a life, remember, David HaMelech was conscripted into this life of battle at a very young age. He killed Goliath as a very young man, and from that moment then on, he was a warrior. As I've often said, all the pictures, all the artwork of David HaMelech depict him with the harp. It's very misleading. David HaMelech spent very, I don't know if David HaMelech played the harp or not, but he spent very little, if he did, he spent very little time with the harp and spent a lot more time with the sword. So according to the Radak, David HaMelech is saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm done. Let me, give me rest. Give me rest. I've had a life of difficulty, of violence, of turbulence. I want to give up that life. I want to devote myself to spiritual matters. Remember again, David HaMelech, as we just mentioned, from his youth was already dealing with matters of the nation and never had time. He feels he never had time to devote himself to the cultivation of his personal spirituality. So I've done my piece. I've done what you asked of me. Give me a break. Release me from your service and allow me to just be a spiritual individual. Now the Radak adds one more piece. Ubazeh yechupru avonosav she'avru. This way I could atone for my sins that I have committed. V'tikrav nafsho el ha'elokim. And my soul will be able to come closer to God. What sins is David HaMelech referring to? Right? So the truth is, Radak doesn't tell us. But we know that David HaMelech has many events that follow him throughout life. Of course, most prominent is the episode with Bathsheba. But remember again, there are other events in David HaMelech's life. Remember, David HaMelech's daughter Tamar is raped by his son Amnon. David doesn't do anything about that. For reasons that are not clear from the Navi, David never addresses it. He never punishes Amnon. He never does anything. So what happens? Avshalom kills Amnon. That ultimately, Avshalom flees. Avshalom comes back. Rebellion of Avshalom. Avshalom is killed by David's general. David, to the credit of David HaMelech, what made David HaMelech, I think, one of the things that made David HaMelech great, is David was a very contemplative person. He was always thinking about the events of his life and always reviewing what I did right and what I did wrong. It's a very powerful tool in successful living. So David HaMelech is saying, Kadosh Baruch Hu, you know, I don't have closure on a lot of things. I don't have closure on the episode of Bathsheba. As much as, again, I said I'm sorry, and remember, what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say to David after the episode of Bathsheba? HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgave him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to David, you are forgiven. And the proof to that, of course, was what? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed the union, and that the son of David and Bathsheba, Shlomo, the second son, the first one died, the second son was the one who was, HaKadosh Baruch Hu called him Yedidya, the beloved friend of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, but David still feels there's unfinished business. Why didn't I discipline my son after he violated his sister? Why didn't I take action in these events? So David HaMelech is saying, you know, the greatest challenge of life is finding time to do what you need to do. So David HaMelech is saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm busy fighting battles, I'm busy running a country, I'm busy being the king, but it doesn't leave me time to take care of my personal issues. So I'm asking you now, release me. I'm telling you that I feel that these issues follow me every single day of my life, and I have not had the ability, I've not had the bandwidth to sufficiently deal with them. Give me the time to finally deal with them. That's the Radak. If you look at number 5, the Malbim. So the Malbim says the following. He says, L'David, Mizmor Zeh, Nisyase Neget Poale Oven. So according to the Malbim, David HaMelech wrote this capital corresponding to those who wronged him. Asher Dibru Ito Echad Bepeh, Ve'echad Balev. One of the great challenges that David HaMelech, we've spoken about this extensively in our past kapitlach, is David was very hurt by people who he thought were his friends. David was very hurt by people who were his family. David HaMelech was betrayed by some of the people who were closest to him. So David, you know, unfortunately what happens is when people who are close to you, people you think you have a relationship with, betray you, what does it do? What does it do? It erodes your ability to trust anyone, understandably. Because if those who are closest to me could mistreat me so terribly, then what does it say about people who are further away from me? So the Rambam says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, according to the Malbim, David is saying over here, I've spent my life dealing with liars. I've spent my life dealing with people who have told me one thing, but in their hearts either believed or felt a different way. There are people who presented themselves as my friends, as my allies, but behind the scenes plotted against me in such evil ways. But David said, Kadosh Baruch, you know, one thing I've seen is that you've always come through for me. You've always come through for me. Every single time someone plotted against me, and David HaMelech is saying, you know, the one, and again, David HaMelech has many milos, but one of the great milos of David HaMelech was he was a purely genuine person. He was a genuine person. He was toho kibaro. His inside was reflective of what his outside was. When he made mistakes, he owned them and he apologized. When he accomplished great things, he never let it get to his head. David HaMelech was a genuine individual. And you know, genuine people have incredible difficulties navigating in the interpersonal seas of this world. Why? Because most people are not genuine. I don't mean that, God forbid, as a jaded statement, but it's a reality. Most people, you can't necessarily trust what they say, not because people are liars, but because people, truth is, as we go through life, we know everybody's working an angle. Everybody comes to the table with some agenda. So when people tell you something, chances are it's not for your benefit, but it's somehow to benefit themselves. David HaMelech sees this, and as a genuine person, it's exceptionally difficult for him to contend with this. I try to be a genuine person, but what do you do? How can you be a genuine person when the people around you are not genuine? So according to the Malbim, David HaMelech is saying, Kadosh Baruch Hu, I need a break. I need a break from dealing with people. I need a break from dealing with the world. He says, he goes on, Ki Hashem shomro v'gam shomer es Yisrael mebo b'damim, v'lo ispare im haya zeh b'eishach. So the Malbim gives a couple of different examples of when David HaMelech might be referring to, but at the end of the day, the Malbim says, I don't know specifically if he's referring to one episode or it's just a composite of all of David HaMelech's interpersonal letdowns throughout his life. Skip down a little bit, 3 lines up from the bottom. Ilecho Hashem ekra, kineged ha'oyev hanistar kashen yosra lihishamra mipanov, v'rak Hashem hayoder nistaros hurav lohoshia, neged elechor shei ra'a b'seser, lochin tzuri al techarash mimeni, kim techasha mimeni, halo ehye nimshol im yardei bar. So according to the Malbim, what David HaMelech is saying over here is the following. Le David, Elecho Hashem ekra, Siri al techarash klish baruch. I need you to be merak. I need you to help me. Why? Because there are people who I know are plotting against me, but I don't know what they're plotting. David HaMelech says, I can fight against an external enemy. I could face them. I understand the threat. The threat is clear and apparent. The greatest difficulty I have, says David HaMelech, are the people who plot against me behind my back, because I don't know what they're doing. I don't know what they're saying, and I don't know what they're planning. But you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you my rock. Don't be silent to me even when all of them are. They all pretend like they're my friends. They all try to give me good advice, but they're all plotting against me. This is not David HaMelech being paranoid. This is David HaMelech being consciously aware of what is happening all around him. See, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I need to know essentially that you have my back. I need to know that you are looking out for me and that you will somehow foil the plans of those who seek to rise up against me even before I am aware of what it is that they're trying to do. Look at number six, another approach. Number four. And then we'll summarize these approaches before we go on to the last approach. Right, the Zera Yaakov. And the Zera Yaakov here says something that is so beautiful. He says, L'David, Elecho Hashem, Shaporea ma'at, V'ne'eman l'farea, l'froa, excuse me, Schari hatov, ba'olam abo. So David Melech says that the Zera Yaakov goes on a totally different approach. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, David has the following conversation with God. God, I know I've done good things in this world, and I know that you are going to pay me, so to speak. You're going to reward me in the world to come. I believe in that. You know, I believe that I'm going to have a lichtka Gan Eden. It's going to be a beautiful afterlife. I'm going to have a beautiful, beautiful estate in Gan Eden. You're going to give me reward for all I've done. However, he says, Ekra lihios suri machase, ki tavo al schari lefanecha, lishalim ma'at smischar ma'asin tovim sheli, Gamba olam hazeh. Wow. Says the Zera Yaakov. David Hamel says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God, I believe that there's olam haba, and I believe that there's going to be reward in the world to come. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, could I ask you a favor? Can you give me just a little bit of it in olam hazeh, in this world? I have to tell you, when I saw the Zera Yaakov, I felt so good. Because the truth is, you know, we feel like disappointed in ourselves when all of us utter this tefillah at some point in time. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, good, I believe it. I know Olam Haba, we're not here for this world. This is just the prozdar, it's just the hallway. I understand. But would it be so bad? Would it be so bad if it was good here and there? I mean, why does it have to be an either or? Why does it? And by the way, it's a profound theological question, because clearly it's not because God has insufficient resources. Clearly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has some kind of plan, but sometimes it's the most frustrating part of the human dynamic. Why does it have to be an either or? If I'm a good person, why can't I have a good olam hazeh as well as a good olam haba? Why do I have to find solace that no matter how much I suffer here, it's okay, it'll be good. So David HaMelech says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I have to be honest with you, it's not okay with me. I'm not okay with it. Why? I'm not asking you to give me a full measure of schar, but can you give me just a little, throw me a bone. Give me a little something. Give me a shmek of that schar. Give me a little taste. Give me a little smell of it. A little bit of that schar in olam hazeh. He says, ki pentech hashami meni. So the way the Zera Yaakov understands it is fine. L'David. So David HaMelech is having a very private conversation with God. He's spilling his soul. Elecho Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I turn to you. Why? Ekra, I'm going to call out to you. Tsuri, because you're my rock, you're stable. And I could talk, now again, according to the Zera Yaakov, what's happening over here is the following. Tsuri also represents, you know, what happens if you punch a rock? Nothing. Right? What happens if you kick a rock? You know, Rav Soloveitchik writes about this extensively. God has a very thick skin. You should speak your mind to the Ribono Shel Olam. If you're angry, tell God. He's not going to get offended. If you're hurt, tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Say it. First of all, again, there's no greater demonstration of relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu than expressing your innermost feelings to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if you feel let down by God, you should talk about it with God. Again, you're going to have to resolve those feelings. If you feel hurt, if you feel betrayed, if you feel that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not there for you, say it. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the rock. You could pound it. At the end of the day, it's okay. You're not going to hurt the rock. The rock is going to be sakh. So David HaMelech says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're my rock. And if I have to tell you what's happening, he says, Al techerash mimeni. What does it mean, don't be silent? According to Zera Yaakov, don't be silent to me in this world. I know that I have a beautiful Gan Eden. I know that Olam Haba is waiting for me. But why do I have to wait to be happy until Olam Haba? Why can't I have a little bit of life happiness in this world as well? He goes on. Because if you are silent and give me nothing good in this world, you don't give me any schar, then im shalti im yard de bar. You know, Kadosh Baruch Hu, and this is so profound. David HaMelech says, Kadosh Baruch Hu, if you don't give me a good Olam Hazeh, it leads me to one conclusion, which is what? Which is what? That you don't like me. That maybe you feel that I'm not righteous. That maybe I'm wicked. So David HaMelech saying, Kadosh Baruch Hu, and this is so profound, because what's unfolding over here in this kapitel is David HaMelech is struggling with the dynamic of human existence. It's almost he's struggling with Tzadik Varalo. He's struggling with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I love you, I do for you, I give to you. And all I ask is for a little bit of reciprocity. I just ask for you again. I'm not asking you to give me the full measure of my schar in this world, but a little bit. A little bit, because if you don't give me a little bit, I'm a human being, and it leads me to one conclusion. You know, remember, we establish, well, I guess what we'll call like very Pavlovian type of conclusions in life. And if bad stuff is happening, what do I assume? That I'm a bad person. And if good things would happen, it would assume. And again, we know life is not that simple, but the truth is, that's how we think. That is how we think. We associate ultimately a good results with good process. We associate bad results with a bad process. So here, according to the Zohar Yaakov, David HaMelech says, Kadosh Baruch Hu, please, just give me a little bit of reward in this world. You're my rock. I know you can take it. I know we can speak to you openly a little bit. I think what's so profound about this is the following. You know, it's interesting that David HaMelech, that King David would say that he doesn't have any schar in Olam Hazeh. David HaMelech is fabulously wealthy. He's got Parnasa. David HaMelech has his health. David HaMelech has incredible kavod. So it's very profound. What doesn't David HaMelech have? He doesn't have shalom. He doesn't have shalom. And what David HaMelech is saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu was, to be honest, without shalom, everything else is meaningless. I have more money than any man. Wonderful. Tons of money without shalom. Without shalom with your family, without shalom in your marriage, without shalom with your friends, shalom with your community is meaningless. I have covered. Wonderful. So if I walk in the room, people stand up. I could kill people. I could execute people. I could exile people. I could jail people. Wonderful. What does it do for me? What does that covet do for me if at the end of the day I don't have shalom? I have my health, so I have longevity. Not that David has such exceptional longevity. Great. What am I living for? What am I living for? What is my day-to-day existence like without shalom? And it's such a profound insight. What David HaMelech is really asking for from HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, why can't you just give me a little bit of shalom in this world? Again, there are circumstances beyond my control that I can't manage. So I've done for you. I've served you. I've given my life for you. I never asked you for wealth. I never asked you for covet. I never asked you for any of these gifts that you've given me. I've only asked you for one thing throughout my life, and that's shalom. I asked you for shalom with my father, who treated me like a nothing. I asked you for shalom with my brothers, who treated me like a nothing. I asked you for shalom with my people, who treated me like a nothing. And I'm like, shalom. That's all. So profound. So in this kapitel, David HaMelech, again, according to the Zera Yaakov, is just letting it all out. Just letting it all out. Why can't you give me just a little bit of reward in Olam Hazeh for everything I've done for you? Which finally brings us now to our final approach, and then we'll tie everything together. Take a look at the Radak. So the Radak says, and again, understand, as I always mention, none of these approaches are mutually exclusive. Right? It's not one to the exclusion of it. They could all work beautifully in concert together. It's the profundity of Tehillim that we're seeing over here, five different understandings of one 9-verse chapter. It's very profound. That there could be five different dynamics that are unfolding in this small capital of Tehillim for David HaMelech. Take a look at number 7. The Radak says the following. Va'amar tsuri, David HaMelech, Kadosh Baruch Hu, you're my rock. Al techerash mimeni. Now, this if you notice, by the way, David HaMelech says in Pasuk, number 1 in Pasuk Aleph, he expresses the same idea two times. He says, Kadosh Baruch Hu, I call out to you, you are my rock. Al techerash, literally, don't be deaf to me. Pentech Hashami Meni, lest you be silent to me. So two times David HaMelech is asking for the same thing from God, which is, please don't be silent to me. Don't be deaf, don't be silent to me. So look what the Radak writes. He says, Ki Aresi, you know what I fear most? Excuse me. Do not be deaf to me, to not hear my request. Ki Aresi. You know what scares me most? What scares me most? Pentech Hashami Meni. The greatest fear I have, says David HaMelech, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that you're going to be deaf to my word, that you're not going to hear what I'm saying. Because if you do that, v'nim shalti im yardei bar, if you're going to be deaf to what I'm saying, I might as well be dead. I might as well be dead. He says, pen eya kimar shem yardei gehenam shetelech ba'avdon nafsham mosam. If you're going to be deaf to my words, then at the end of the day, I might as well be dead, and you might as well treat me, you might as well give me the sentence of those who are wicked. But look at number 8. The Al-Sheikh explains this in a little bit greater depth. And the Al-Sheikh says very beautifully the following idea. 8 Aleph. Now, what does this mean that David HaMelech is saying? It's very strong words. That if you're going to be deaf to my words, I might as well be dead. Right? That the worst thing in David HaMelech's world is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not hear what he's saying. So says the Al-Sheikh. 8 Aleph. L'David Elech HaShem Ekra. Hine Omro Techerash Shehu Kimacharish Bilvad. Ach Omro Pentech Esha. So it's interesting, according to the Al-Sheikh, Techerash and Techesheh means two different levels of silence. Techerash is one level of silence, where God is not listening, or deafness, and Techesheh is even a greater level of divine deafness and silence. Okay, let's skip down a little bit. You see where the three periods are over there? V'hu. Listen to this, Marshall. Ki'im shnei ohavei ha-melech yavo lefanav lishol. Ish ish she'las abakashaso. Imagine the following scene. Two people come before the king to ask the king for a particular request. Each are coming with a particular request. V'hamelech yoda terem yedabru she'las kol echad. V'gamar belibo lemalei chafetzam. So what happens? The king already knows before the two people approach that he's going to grant their requests. He knows them either because he knows the requests or he knows the people. So the king already decided, even before they open their mouths, I'm going to grant the request. Ule echad yomar, al tidaber davar, ki halo terem tikra inisincha. So what happens? And the king says to one of them, before he's about to start, he says, don't even open your mouth. It's yours. Whatever you want, I'm going to give it to you. I already know what you want, and I've already granted your request. You don't even have to say anything. Ule sheni, yakshiv yishma kol divrei she'elaso. And what happens? So to the first guy who comes, the king says, don't even open your mouth. I'm going to give you whatever you want. And the second guy, he allows him to go. The king allows him to go through his whole request. And then at the end of the request says, yes, I'll give you whatever you want. So says the Al-Sheikh, es mi mishnehem ohev yoser. Who does the king love more? The first guy who he said, you don't even have to say anything. You don't have to say anything. I'm going to give you what you want. Or the second guy who had to launch, who had to give the verbal petition, and then only afterwards was granted the monarch was granted his request. Who does God love more? So says the Al-Sheikh, it's interesting, because I'll tell you, when I first read this, I would have assumed the first. Because at the end of the day, the fact that I don't even have to ask, the king loves me so much, he curses, says the Al-Sheikh, no. He says, Havei Omer Es Hasheni. The king loves the second one more. Why? Ki gam sheta'avaso nosan lo, Mishtasheya bedabro ito. Because again, it's not just about the request. What is it about? It's about being heard. It's about being listened to. It's about someone taking out their time to give you the kavod, to give you the derech eretz, to listen to what it is that you have to say. When the king goes ahead and gives the first guy his request and doesn't listen to him, he's dismissed. Okay, he gets what he wants, but at the end of the day, the message he gets is what? What I have to say is unimportant. The king doesn't have time to listen to me. So okay, he gave me what I want. Very nice. It's wonderful. But he didn't have time to listen to the second guy. He gets what he wants, and he says, the king, mamish is machshiv me. The king thinks I'm important because he listened to my whole speech from beginning to end. Even though what? He made his decision already before I even started talking to him. He says, "Kigam shetavos v'zeh echshov b'pasuk." This is actually very beautiful. He says, "This is the meaning of the pasuk." V'haya terem yikra'u v'ani e'ne. This is the pasuk in the Navi where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, even before you call out to me, I've already answered you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu fulfills most of our requests even before we have even asked for them. Before you call out, I already know what you need. I'm God. I give you what you need. But not only that, V'atein estav also, V'im kol zeh, od heim medabrim b'tfila, v'ani eshma. But the greatness of the Ribono Shel Olam is what? That he still listens. Od heim medabrim. We're still speaking. We're still going ahead and launching our... We're still talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's already decided that he's going to give us what we need or not give us what we need. He's already made the decision. But at the end of the day, V'ani Eshma. He still listens. V'lo Omer Lehem Acharishu Menu. God doesn't say to us, be quiet already. Kikavari Nisi Eschem. Stop wasting my time. I already said yes. Shehu Ki Eshtashea B'Shmias Kolchem. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu realizes that what? We delight in the dialogue. We delight in it because when you have a conversation and you know that the other party is listening, there are two parts. Yes, I need something, but on the other hand, there's an establishing of a relationship just through one person talking and the other person listening. Beis. Ve'inyon b'zeh yomar gampo. It says the Alshich, this is what David HaMelech is saying over here. She'omer elecha Hashem ekra, she'adayin lo karasi, ki im she'ekra. So David HaMelech is saying over here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, elecha Hashem ekra. Now remember, interestingly enough, Elecha Hashem Ekra. Ekra is what? Is Asid. It's future tense. So David is saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I know that before I even call out to you, you have already answered me. Before I even ask you for what I need, you already know what I need, and you have already made your decision to give it to me. Shachi knows he asked me the crow. V'lomar tsuri shuas chalas hatfila miyad terem akriya al techerash men el mila anos v'ligzra atzilasi. So David Mel says like this, look back at number one for just a moment. L'David, Elecho Hashem Ekra, before I even call out to you, what I ask of you is what? Tsuri, be my rock, al techerash men. Don't be deaf. Now, what David is asking is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please don't be deaf even before I begin to speak. You already know what I'm going to say, so don't be deaf to my anticipatory request. You know what I'm going to ask, so I ask you to be a proactive listener. You listen to my heart, you know what I want, you know what I need, and so listen to that request even before what? Even before what? Even before I actively, verbally articulate that request. But then the Alshich goes on. He says, I'm still number 8 pasuk beis now. Mia terem akriya av techarash mi meni mila anos v'ligzar salasi. Pen yimashech she bebilti ra'osi money she anisani af sida bitachon ve'esyaish ve'echet habazeh ba'ofen she gam techashem meni ba'at sili oivai. Fine. V'nim shalti b'ini aram ki yodibar ki yomru ki avonasi lachduni. I'm sorry, let's just read a little bit more, then I'll go back and translate. The Yechatu Hashem. So first part says David HaMelech is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I need you to proactively anticipate what I need. Even before I call out to you, don't be indifferent, don't be deaf to my needs. Why? Because if you are deaf to my needs, then what's going to happen? It's going to look like you don't care. And if you don't care, I might as well be dead. Okay, but that's not, David doesn't stop there. Ki'im, v'achar sheni sani tam she'ekra. And after God, you've already decided to grant me a request even before I asked for it. Look what the Alshech says. Acharei kein, ki'im shema kol tachanunai. This is actually going into Pasuk Beis. Now, what I ask of you is, even after you've heard my request before I've articulated it, and even after what? You've decided to grant it, even before what? Even before I've verbally articulated it, I still ask you to please listen to me when I speak with you. I ask you to have an attentive ear when I call out, even though you've already decided what you're going to do. You've already decided that you're going to grant my request. You already know my request before I even said my request. And you've already decided what to do about it. I still ask you, Shema kol tachanunai bishavi elecha. Just please listen. Please listen. Velo amar tachanunai ki im kol tachanunai. Okay, so he goes on with a different theme. So according to the Alshech and the Radak, what David HaMelech is actually asking for over here is something quite profound. David HaMelech is asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I know you already know my requests, even before I ask them. And I know that the truth is you've made up your mind about whether or not to give it to me even before I say anything. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what I'm going to ask of you is, don't dismiss me even if you've decided. Please listen. Because the act of knowing or the knowledge that you listen to me, is in and of itself a great source of strength, a great source of chizuk in my relationship with you. And this is so incredibly profound. Because remember, this lesson, and at the end of the day, we know that it's true, that one great thing we struggle with in life is not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't give us what we want. Because the truth is, we're mature enough to know that sometimes what we want is not what we're supposed to have. And sometimes what we want is not really what we need. So we can get over that, even with very important things. The part that sometimes troubles us the most is God listening. Is HaKadosh Baruch Hu listening to what I'm saying? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I could deal with the no's. I really can. I'm mature. I'm more religiously, theologically, spiritually sophisticated. I'm not a child who says, I need, give me. I accept the fact that sometimes the answer is no. But just tell me, just let me know that you're listening. As long as I know that you're hearing me, I'm okay with whatever the answer is. And I think that this is such a profound yisod, not just in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Of course, in our relationship with God, what David HaMelech is saying is, it's not just about getting what you want, it's about being heard. Because what David HaMelech is saying is, if you listen to me, listening to me validates my pain. Listening to me validates my struggle. Listening to me means you understand what it is that I'm going through. If you tell me, here's the thing that you want, but you don't listen to me, then at the end of the day, I don't really know if you understand me for who I am. And the power of this lesson, of course, as I said before, is not just in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's in all of our life relationships. You know, in marriage, people so often make the mistake that thinking that being a good spouse is doing what you need to do. I took out the garbage, I did this, I did that, I bring home a parnasa, I make a dinner, I do all. It's about a series of chores, of lists that you have to do. And the truth is, marriage 101 is that to be an effective spouse, you have to listen. You have to listen. It's not just about, okay, you know what, don't talk to me about it anymore, I'll do it, whatever it is. We've all either heard or said things like that at some point in time. I don't want to discuss it anymore. Just tell me what you want me to do. I'm not looking at my wife in this direction. Right? Just tell me what you want me to do, and I'll do it. It's fine. Understand when you do that, that is the most demeaning thing someone could do in a relationship. Because what you're communicating to your significant other is, I don't really care enough to listen to you. I'll do it, but I don't care enough to listen. And what David HaMelech is saying is, listening is one of the most important things. Because when you listen to someone, what you are doing is you are validating their importance as an individual. It is important enough for me to take out time from whatever I am doing, to be able to. I have to tell you just an amazing story. And this was very... This really hit home for me. So my daughter is learning to play the recorder. Right? I think anyone who has children of Beis Yaakov children goes through this parsha. So learning to play the recorder, and she was playing it. I think it was maybe on Erev Shabbos, and I was sitting next to her, and I was listening. I said, Malka, you did such a beautiful job, and she looked at me. And she said, Tati, I'm so happy you finally listened. And I was so taken by it, because the truth is, everyone else in my house complains about the recorder. I am the only one who does not. I actually like it. And I was so surprised that she said, thank you for finally listening. And I realized it's probably because every other time when I was sitting next to her, she realized she didn't have my undivided attention. Whatever it was I was doing, whether I was having a side conversation or whether I was checking my email or wherever else it was, and I realized that, wow, I offended this little girl, because here she is with this skill and here she's learning this, and she never really felt that I cared enough. Why? It wasn't because I was physically present, but I wasn't listening. That's what David HaMelech is teaching us, that it's all about listening. Yes, doing, of course, is exceptionally important as well. Very important. Meaning, listening without doing is not enough either. I want to be clear. You have to listen, you have to do. But so often we're focused on the doing part, that we figure, okay, it doesn't matter if I listen to you. Just give it to me. I have about 30-second bandwidth. So if you could condense what you have to say into 20 seconds, I will do everything you want. Anything above the 20 seconds, I'm out. The offensiveness that conveys to the other individual, that you're not important enough for me to listen to, is so profound. So don't mind saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all I want, you could tell me yes, you could tell me no. Just tell me you're listening. In our lives, in our marriages, our children, our friends, the same yesod. Take the time to listen. Yes. It's an excellent question. Right. How do you know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is listening? The only thing I could possibly say is, I think we've all had moments when we feel that we are truly connecting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that He hears what we're saying. I don't know how to measure it. I don't think, maybe David could measure it. It could be. I think for us, it's a feeling. It's a feeling. And sometimes, yeah, it's an excellent question. It's an excellent question. I don't have an answer for it, but I just think it's something a person, hopefully we've all had moments where we feel that I've connected, and though I don't know what the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to do, I know that He heard me. Maybe that's the feeling that we're ultimately looking for. Yes? Right. Right. So what the Ashech is saying is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I would amplify that question, which is, then how does that also play into, it almost sounds like a predetermination type of approach, where it's already decided. So I think what the Ashech is speaking in generalities, and the Ashech is saying is, even before I come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with my list, He already knows what I need. It's not like the Pshat. So what David HaMelech is really saying is, the dialogue with God is not really to communicate what I need, because He already knows what I need. The dialogue is there to be able to be heard. And that's the truth, is the greatest happiness a Jew could have is the feeling of being heard by the Ribbono Shel Olam. Yes?
It makes me think of Avraham Avinu, who was really listening to God.
Right, very true.
And he didn't, and God is testing him all the time, and he doesn't have such a reaction.
Well, Avraham Avinu, the difference is, remember, the one advantage that Avraham Avinu has is prophecy. You know, so with prophecy, you know that God is listening because God is talking to you. That's the great advantage. Remember, David HaMelech has a certain degree of prophetic insight. David is not a Navi. But again, with people of Avraham Avinu caliber, I don't want to say it's easier, because Avraham Avinu's nesionos were not easy. But I think the one thing they never have to worry about too much is if the Ribbono Shel Olam is listening, because there's a direct dialogue. The challenge of listening comes for us who don't necessarily get the direct and immediate divine feedback. Yes?
When someone comes to the door, and we basically know how much we usually give, it is so important to listen to their whole experience.
It's 100% true.
Oh, you're
right, 100% true. It's an excellent point. It's true. And the truth is, sometimes the act of listening is so much more meaningful than the couple of dollars you're going to give anyway. It's 100% true. So to bring this all together, so what we see over here, and again, this is the greatness of David HaMelech, in nine psukim, we have so many profound life lessons. So again, just to review our basic approaches for today. So again, our first approach was Rav Hirsch. David HaMelech in this kapitel is speaking about incredible divine dependency. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I depend on you. I lean on you. You are my rock. You are the only dependable thing in this world. But the great part is that dependency does not represent a weakness. That dependency is a privilege. The fact that I'm not self-sufficient doesn't mean I'm a weakling, doesn't mean I'm a nothing. It's a privilege that you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, partner with me in such a dramatic fashion. Second approach, which was the Radak. The Radak is being the continuation. David HaMelech is asking, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please let me hang up the sword. Let me start my new life. I want to devote myself to spiritual pursuits. I have no peace in my life because I feel that there's unresolved issues. There are major unresolved issues. Unresolved issues in my family, unresolved issues in all areas, and I need to be able to devote myself to those unresolved issues. The Malbim, David HaMelech is struggling with the lack of genuine kite in his interpersonal relationships. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you need to have my back, bless you, because I do not know what people are scheming, what people are planning, what people are doing, but it gives me at least some degree of solace to know that you have your finger on the pulse of what everyone is doing, and you will take care of me, even though I may be unaware of the threats that lurk all around. The Zera Yaakov, the fourth approach, David HaMelech says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please, I'm looking forward to Olam Haba. I'm not running there, but I'm looking forward to the Schar whenever my time is. But can you not just give me a little bit of Schar in this world as well? And what David HaMelech is ultimately asking for is not money, not wealth, not health. What he's asking for is Shalom. Can everything that I have in life is meaningless if I don't have a real sense of Shalom in my existence? And lastly, the Radak, the Alshech. What David is asking more than anything is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whether you say yes or whether you say no to my requests, that's a detail. What I ask more than anything is just always let me know, always make sure that I understand, that I feel that you're listening. Because as long as I feel that I have an attentive divine ear, I'll make do with whatever the answer is. But if you listen to me, then I know you care. I know you love me. I know my situation is of concern for you. And that knowledge that you are involved and you care about my life is enough to allow me to weather any difficulty or any challenge. And as we said, what is true in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is true in all of our other interpersonal relationships as well. That our the key to success in relationships is not just simply doing, but more importantly, it's listening. All right, we'll stop over here. The Meretz Hashem will pick up next week.